morning's gospel lesson comes from the sixth chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Let us pray. Thou who art over us, thou who art one of us, thou who simply art, give each of us a pure heart that we may see thee, a humble heart that we may hear thee, a heart of love that we may serve thee, and most of all, a heart of faith that we may always abide in thee. This is our hope. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. It takes a lot of courage to be human and to live with all of the freedoms that we have been given in this life. I think of this every time that I see a little child or I hold a baby. Looking into that child's eyes, it is easy to see that they know little about the world and little about the courage that it takes to be human. They do not know anything about Parkinson's disease or cancer or thunderstorms or depression. They do not lie awake worrying at night about their relationships or their jobs or even their death. There is no fear in their eyes. For the most part, they sleep and eat and sigh when they are full. Their world is as wide as their parents' arms and as safe. This is all they know. As they age, they will learn more. They will learn that bees sting and roses have thorns and other children push and throw rocks. They will learn that having a fever is sometimes like being set on fire and that when your parents decide to move, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. All of that is part of growing up. It's not the only part, but it's the hardest part. And it's part of how we learn what it is to be a human being. Year after year, we add to our experience of the world, finding our own freedom, pushing against our limits to find out what will budge and what will not. And gradually, we gain a sense of our own power. We find that we can make certain things happen, and we can prevent other things from happening. We can make friends, and we can make enemies. We can say yes, and we can say no. Some of us even get so carried away with this discovery that we begin to think that we are in control of our lives. We come of age, and we decide what we want to be. That is, if some of us ever come to age. We open bank accounts and we make plans for our future. We take our vitamins and work out twice a week for 30 minutes at a time. And 9/10 of the time, it actually seems to work. Enough of the time so that we can convince ourselves that it is true. That if we do everything just right, then everything will turn out just like we expect. That human beings really can have charge over their lives. That is, until something happens. The income evaporates. The doctor finds a spot on the x-ray. You find out that you're pregnant. That the child's grades go down and down and down in a split second. Everything changes. I've lost control. That is what good people say when unexpected things happen to them. I've lost control of my life. I've said it myself. But it's not true. Human beings do not lose control over their lives. We lose the illusion that we were in control of our lives in the first place. And it's a difficult lesson to learn, so hard that most of us have to go back to the blackboard again and again and again because we keep thinking. We keep thinking that there must be some way to work it out. Some way to master the human condition so that there remains nothing unexpected, nothing out of our control. As far as I know, it can't be done. Maybe that's why it's called the human condition, like asthma or being nearsighted. Being human is a condition that we live with. A splendid one in most respects, but one with certain limitations. Some things will budge for us, and some will not. We cannot fly. We cannot live forever. We cannot control everything that happens to us. That is the human condition. And it can be frightening because that means, what it means is we cannot choose all of the circumstances of our lives. All we can really choose in this life is how we will respond to them. And that's why it takes a lot of courage to be a human being. The Bible is full of this. 2 weeks ago, we heard about Jesus and his disciples out on the lake when a heavy storm blows in. 8-foot waves swamp the boat. Lightning pops overhead like the sound of firecrackers. The disciples find themselves terrified. The wind and the sea are beyond their control. While Jesus lies sleeping on a pillow in the stern of the boat. "Teacher," they cry, "do you not care that we are perishing?" Waking up, Jesus says, "Peace. Be still." And the squall stops. Just like that. "Why? Why are you afraid?" Jesus asks them. "Have you no faith?" Or take last week's gospel lesson, which follows on the heels of the scene on the stormy lake. Jesus crosses again across the lake. And he's not been on the shore for 5 minutes when one of the leaders of the synagogue, Jairus by name, falls at his feet. He too is suffering from the human condition. He too is up against something that he cannot control. Not a storm this time, but a threat against the life of his child. His little girl is close to death, and there is nothing, nothing that he can do about it but lie in the dirt and beg, "Come and lay your hands on her," he pleads with Jesus, "so that she may be made well and live." Before Jesus can follow him, the worst possible news comes. It's too late. She's gone. Only Jesus ignores this version of the truth. And turning to Jairus, he delivers the shortest sermon of his preaching career. "Do not fear," he says to this grief-struck man. "Do not fear. Only believe." It's not just a word for Jairus. It's a word for all of us who suffer from the human condition, who are up against things that we cannot control. Only believe what? That our prayers will be answered? That things will somehow turn out the way that we think that they should? That we will get what we want? That is the way it seems to work in these stories. People call on Jesus and they get what they want. The storm stops. The little girl is raised to life. So naturally, we try to figure out what those people did right so that we can do it too. And the same thing will happen to us. Even today's gospel lesson, how can Jesus survive and even become empowered in the face of the rejection that he experiences by those who know him best? Even Jesus has no control over what others think about him. Or how is it that the disciples can live off of the hospitality of others? They have no guarantee, no control over what they will receive and encounter on their journey. You see, our human condition tells us, figure out how to play the game. Figure out what those people did right so that we can do it too, that the same good expected things will happen to us. Only that's not what these stories are about. They're not stories about how to get God to do what we want, which is just another way of trying to stay in control or trying to twist God's arm. Instead, these stories are about who God is and how God acts. And what God is like. Mark wrote them down for one reason and one reason alone. This is no ordinary man, he tells us. He tells us every way that he knows how. This man is God's son. Believe it. Mark wanted people to believe so that they would have strength to meet the days to come. He wanted them to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, so that later, after he was gone, they would not lose heart. He wanted them to believe that even when he was not around to talk with them face to face anymore, that he still had the power to calm the storms of their lives, to provide for every need as they journeyed on the road to discipleship. Wanted them to know that he would restore them to life in new and different ways. New and different because his own life and ministry and death changed everything by its very ordinariness. Those who for the most part came expecting mighty acts from him went away disappointed because there at the end he was up against the human condition just like the rest of us. That is what he consented to do so that God could show us the possibilities, how one being, one human being willing to lose control of his life might receive it back again. Not for a time, but for all time and for all humankind. Do not fear, he says, only believe. Only believe what? He doesn't say. But those are the two choices, apparently, when human beings discover that they are not in control after all. They can fear or they can believe. They can panic and fall overboard, or they can ride out the storm. They can despair, or they can wait very quietly for sanity to return. They can be afraid, or they can believe. And judging from my own experience, it's never, almost never, a matter of either or. I don't know anyone who believes all the time. But I do know how both fear and belief feel, and that there is a palpable difference between the two. Fear is a small cell with no air in it and no light. Barbara Brown Taylor explains, it's suffocating inside and dark. There is no room to turn around in it. You can only face in one direction, but it hardly matters that you cannot see anyhow. There is no future in the dark. Everything is over. Everything is past. When you're locked up like that, tomorrow is very far away. People can stop by, she says, and tap on your walls. They can even bang on the door to show you where it is. But when you're afraid, you cannot open it up. They might not be who they say they are, or they might just make matters worse. It's safer to stay where you are, where you know what is what. Even if you cannot breathe, even if you cannot move, that is how fear feels. Believe, Taylor says, is something else altogether. Although it's not what some would have us to believe. Faith is not a well-fluffed nest or a well-defended castle on a high hill. It's more, she says, like a rope bridge over a scenic gorge. Sturdy but swinging back and forth with plenty of light and plenty of air, but precious little to hang on to except the stories you have heard. That it is the best and only way across. That it is possible that it will bear your weight. All you have to do, she says, is believe in the bridge more than you believe in a gorge. But fortunately, you do not have to believe in it all by yourself. There are others to believe it with you, and even some to believe it for you when your own belief has worn thin. They have crossed the bridge ahead of you and are waiting on the other side. You can talk to them if you like as you step into the air, putting one foot ahead of the other, just like that, just one step, one day at a time. You see, it takes a lot of courage to be a human being, to live life with all the freedoms that we have been given. But if Jesus was who he said he was, then that bridge will hold. Believing in him will never, ever put us in charge or get us what we want or even save us from all harm. But believing in him, we may gradually lose our fear of our lives. Whatever the human condition we find ourselves in, we may finally learn to live it. Maybe even love it, if only because we believe he loves and lives it too. Jesus goes with us. Thanks be to God.